لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everybody doing? الحمد لله. جزاكم الله خيرا for coming out. Can you hear me okay, inshallah? Yeah, okay. Very good. Alhamdulillah. Excellent. Barakallahu feekum. All right. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to get started with the Babu Mansubat al-Asma, or not get started, resume from Babu Mansubat al-Asma, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan for being here. For that, now, what we were at was Babul Maf'uli Bihi. That's where we were. I'm just opening up the the file here. SubhanAllah. Right. Okay. So, Babul Maf'uli Bihi. This is the chapter that describes for us the maf'ul bihi, which is really the maf'ul as we know it. Okay, now in this particular chapter, we already looked at the ism al mansub alladhi yaqa'u bihi al-fi'l. We looked at the definition. We also already looked at one sec, please. We also looked at the idea that it is zahir wa mudmar. It is two types. It is either a apparent or outside doer, or it is a mudmar, which would be for us a pronoun, right? So this is where we kind of were at, but there's some details in the mudmar part that we haven't covered. I want to introduce one quick thing here for you as I reorganize and reshuffle my screen here. Allahu musta'an. Okay, is that I wanted to introduce this idea of, you know, the five W's and H. Have you heard of this before? It's a, you know, it's not an advanced concept. It's a pretty, I guess, like a grade school type concept, where you to when you're trying to describe something, you describe it in these ways where you say, well, what does it cover, right? What are the five W's? Which of it does it cover? The who, what, where, when, why, and the one H, which is the how, right? So what of it does it cover? I feel that the mansubatul asma really is in a way is each of these, or not each of them, quite a few of them are answering one of the five W's and H, or maybe even more. Okay, it answers one or two of them. So maybe let's look at the maf'ul bihi, right? The maf'ul bihi is the maf'ul that receives the action. Okay, I hit. Darabtu. Your question would be, who, right? Zaid, Zaidan, correct? It's the answer to the question, who. I rode, or I embarked upon. Rakibtu. Your question would be, or your, you know, what you're wondering is, well, what did I ride? Al-Farasa, the horse. Okay? So the maf'ul bihi answers that question for us. Who or what? Okay? And this is something I think that is not terribly new. I think it's pretty obvious. But I want us to think about the mansubat in this way. Because the mansubat actually, will explain, you know, where, that's the dharf zaman, where will be a dharf makan, When would be ظرف زمان. Why would be مفعول من أجله. How would be حال. Okay. All of these questions are answered by one of the منصوبات. And sometimes it might be actually two of them would answer the same question, as we will see. Okay. So that is what we did. We reached to the point where we said وَهُوَ قِسْمًا ظَاهِرٌ وَمُضْمَرٌ. Right? We reached that point. It is the apparent, which is an outside maf'ul, or a mudmar, which is a attached pronoun. However, we did not finish this part, and that's where we stopped. وَالْمُضْمَرُ قِسْمًا. وَالْمُضْمَرُ قِسْمًا. Mudmar, the pronoun, is of two types. Have you done this before? Have you seen that the pronoun is of two types? Attached pronouns. We have not seen attached pronouns being of two types, have we? We've seen like a standalone pronoun and an attached pronoun, but an attached pronoun, two versions of it, we haven't studied yet. And this is the new part here. Okay, he says, وَهُوَ قِسْمًا, oh, sorry, وَالْمُضْمَرُ قِسْمًا مُتَّصِلٌ وَمُنْفَصِلٌ. Okay, متصل, what does متصل mean? Any guesses? متصل means, متصل means something that is attached. أحسن سيستر مهدية. It is something that is attached. From the word وصل, connected. Wasala means to join. Silatul Rahim. What does Silatul Rahim mean? Keeping ties of family, right? Joining family ties. That comes from this word, wasala. Now, when you look at muttasil, it is a pronoun that is an attached pronoun that is attached. Okay, you're like, well, isn't that the definition of it? We'll see. Okay. And the other type would be what? What is the other possibility? Munfasil. Can somebody explain to me what munfasil would be? Any guesses? Munfasil. Munfasil. Not attached. Very good. Munfasil would be, how about detached? Let's keep standalone for huwa, huma, hum, the marfu' pronouns, yeah? But let's call it munfasil, detached. From the word fasala, which means to separate. Okay? Let's take a look at some examples, shall we? Okay. فَالْمُتَّصِلُ let's have somebody, like a volunteer. Someone like to volunteer to read? Brother Musa, all right, let's do it. Okay.
Well, I have to start.
فَالْمُتَّصِلُ
Bismillah. Well, the line started with huwa?
No, from here, brother Musa, right here, for fal muttasil.
Okay. Fal muttasil. Inna.
Ithna ashara.
Wahiya. ضربني وهي ضربني وضربنا وضربك وضربك وضربكما وضربكم.
أحسنت. All right. فالمتصل اثنا عشر. How many are the متصل? جزاك الله خير brother Salim. Brother Musa, excuse me. How many are متصل? 12. أحسنت. Right? All right. ضربني means what?
I hit.
ضربني.
He hit me.
أحسنت. ضربنا. He hit us. He hit us. Darabaka. He hit you. Darabaki.
He hit you.
Female. Darabakuma. Hit both of you. Darabakum. Hit you all. So this is the attached pronouns that we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the ones we've seen. Yes or no, people?
Yes.
These are the muttasil, attached pronouns, right? These are the ones that attach to the fi'l, right up to it, right? All right. So, and the rest of it is pretty straightforward. Daraba kunna, darabahu, darabaha, darabahuma, darabahum, darabahunna. I want you to please translate, write the translation as I am reading it, right? Okay. Daraba kunna. Daraba kunna would mean he hit you all female. Ahsant. All right, you can just write the pronouns meaning, okay? Darabahu. He hit him. Ahsant. Ahsantum. Darabaha. He hit her. Darabahuma. Hit the two of them, both of them, right? What about darabahum? He hit them. Very good. And darabahunna. Them, female. Very good. Okay. So the rule is, anytime a pronoun is attached to a fi'il, it is going to be a maf'ul bihi. Right? Okay. Let's try to remember, okay? Attached pronoun attaches to a ism. For example, kitabuhu. What's it going to be? Sure, but grammatically, what's it going to be? Kitabuhu. Mudaf, mudaf ilayhi. Attaches to a ism, it is a mudaf mudaf ilayhi. Darabahu attaches to a fi'il. What's it going to be? Maf'ul bihi or maf'ul just by itself. You say maf'ul, maf'ul bihi. We're good. Two thumbs up, mashallah, right now. Okay, that's the ism and the fi'il. Now we're left with harf. Okay? Attaches to a harf jar. Minhu. Ism majroor. Very good. Attaches to a harf nasb. Innahu. La'allahu. Annahu. Laytahu. Ism inna. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. Those are the four possibilities. There's no other. Okay. Those are the four possibilities of the attached pronouns. Okay. We've covered that before. Alhamdulillah. I'm glad that we were able to review it. This is that case. Now we have al-munfasil, the detached. Ithna ashar. Also there are 12. Wahiya. And they are. Let's see if somebody would like to read them for us. Somebody else want to give it a shot? All right, Mimuza, go ahead. Very good.
وإياكنا وإيا وإياه وإياها إيا وإياهما وإياهم وإياهن.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Well done, Yabada Musa. Very good, ما شاء الله. جزاك الله خيرا وبارك الله فيك. These are المنفصل. Have you seen this before? Or have you used it before?
Kind of.
Where? Five times a day? Okay. Surah Fatiha. All right, very good. Iyaka na'budu. Where else? Well, that says something interesting. When you say, wa iyakum, right? What does wa iyakum actually mean? Well, today we'll learn. Okay. So they are the following. Okay. What do you notice about these munfasil attached pronouns? Munfasil attached pronouns. What do you notice about them? Iya, ahsan bada asif. They start with the word iya. They're prefixed. So the word iya is prefixed to the pronouns. Iya. Now, what is this? What it does is that it allows the attached pronoun to become detached. I'm just going to close the window because there's some people doing some work outside. So I think it's coming in the audio and the recording. Just give me a sec, huh? All right, sorry about that. As I was saying, ya is prefixed to the pronouns. This allowed the attached pronoun to become detached. Let's look at a couple of examples, shall we? Okay.
Yes.
All right. We have na'buduka. Na'buduka. Can I detach the pronoun? Can I say ka na'budu?
Iya ka na'budu.
For me to detach the pronoun from na'budu, I have to add iya to the pronoun, iyaka. And then I can move it around in the sentence. I can bring it before. Iyaka na'budu. Okay. Now, what does it achieve? This thing. What does the detached pronoun maf'ul achieve? What is the first thing that you think it achieves here?
Exclusivity.
Very nice. MashaAllah. Ahsant. Exclusivity. A headache for students of Arabic besides that, MashaAllah. It is only you we worship. Iyaka na'budu. Right? So the meaning of only exclusivity is achieved because you have the maf'ul before the fi'l. Right? Here you have the maf'ul when the maf'ul is before the fi'l. You with me, people? We've seen this before, right? All right. But there is a few other things that it is used for. Okay, and let's explore that. Emphasis. This example we're going to explore more in detail. Don't worry, it's coming soon, inshallah. So I just put that there, and then we're going to deal with it down in a little bit. Okay, but it also achieves something where sometimes it is required. Sometimes it's required by the fi'il or the sentence. I'll give you an example. Okay, so here I am. Let's see. I want to say, I hit Zaid. How would I say, I hit Zaid? How would I say that in Arabic?
Darab to say it.
But I need the proper tashkil, ya jama'a. Zaidan, yes? Okay, very good. How about if I wanted to say I hit Zaid and let's take Amr, fine. Darabtu Zaidan wa what?
Wa Amr.
Wa Amran. Correct? But what if I wanted to say, I hit Zaid and him? Actually, let's try this. I hit him. Tell me how I say I hit him. That's easy. Darab.
Darabtu.
Darabtu. Who? Okay. Now, I want to say I hit him and Zaid. Okay. What would I say? How would I say that? Wa Zaidan. Ahsant.
Wa Sayyid.
Darabtu who?
Wa Sayyidan.
Wa Zaidan. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
This is going to be ma'atuf. Zaidan is ma'atuf to? To who? Just like Amran is ma'atuf to Zaidan. So far, so good, people. All right. Now, what if I wanted to say? What if I wanted to say? I hit Zaid and him. How would I say that? Type the answer, please, if you can. Poor Zaid Miskin is getting hit, but that's okay. Now he's used to it. How would I say that? Oh, people. Sister Halima, but that would mean I hit him and Zaid. I hit Zaid and him. Ah, Ahsan Brother Salim, Ahsan Tuma, Brother Asif as well. Darab two. Firstly, right? But I want to say Zaid first. I want to emphasize or highlight that I hit Zaid. Okay. Darabtu Zaydan. Can I say Darabtu Zaydan wa hu? Can I say that? You can't say that. That's not Arabic grammar. Okay? I would say Darabtu Zaydan wa iyyahu. It's an attached pronoun. I can't just detach it. I have to attach it to iya if I want to remove it around in the sentence. Right? Do you see this point, people? Is this clear why we do this? Now, what if I want to say, what does the word munfasil mean? Munfasil comes from the word fasala, which means to detach. Is it proper grammar to start with the name, then him? Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah. So you see what we're doing is we're detaching the who from the fi'il. And then putting it in the sentence as he wishes. Now, what if I wanted to say I hit him and Zaid, but I want to really like highlight it. I like say him, I hit and Zaid. Maybe if I want to say it like that, just humor me for a sec. How would I say that? Here's what I do. I would say Iyahu darab tu wa zaidan. Iyahu darab tu wa zaidan. You see what I did here is now I can move, since the pronoun who has become detached. You see, this is the pronoun. It has now become detached as iya who. Now I can move it around in the sentence as I see fit. If I want this Iyahu, if I want to put him as like the second thing in my sentence after Zaid, I can do it. Darabtu Zaidan wa Iyahu. If I want to emphasize, if I want to emphasize that him I hit and also I hit Zaid, right? then I can do that by bringing him before the fa'il. So this is actually a very cool trick that can be utilized for the sake of maneuvering pronouns. Now, how do you say may Allah reward you with good? Does Arabic allow for pause commas? Not intuitively, not with the grammar. It's just, I think, like the tone lends itself to it. But no, there are no commas in Arabic, the classical Arabic. Is it fully detached or semi-detached? I would think it's probably semi-detached because it's still attached to iya, right? Miskeen. Alhamdulillah. How do you say may Allah reward you with good? You would say Jazakallahu khairan. Jazakallahu khairan. Yes or no?
Yes.
That's actually the correct. The fi'il here is, do you know the fi'il for Jazakallahu khairan is? Well, it can't be the kaf, right? Jaza. Ah. Jaza. What type of fi'il do you think this looks like? Which irregularity is this? R3, yeah. Okay, very good. Fa'il is what? Fa'il is the word Allah. The fa'il is the word Allah. All right. Then you have maf'ul number one, which is Ka, very nice. And then I have maf'ul number two, which is khayran. Right? This is what we know. Jazakallahu khayran. By the way, dua in Arabic is generally made in the past tense. This is a past tense fi'l, jaza. But it translates as may, okay? Because that's how dua is made in Arabic generally. That's why I say rahimahullah. Literally, rahimahullahu means Allah had mercy on him. But it's a dua, may Allah have mercy on him, okay? Now, here is the thing that's interesting. When someone says that, generally the response is, wa iya. Depending on whatever the person is, right? Or whoever the person you want to say this to, correct? What are you actually saying? What you're actually saying is what iyaka jazakallahu. Wa iyaka jazallahu, excuse me. That's what you're saying. Wa iyaka jazallahu khairan. You see?
Yeah.
That ka becomes detached munfasil with iya, and you add that to iya, and you can kind of just not, you don't have to say the rest of the sentence, by the way. You can just like skip the rest of the sentence. Skip the rest of the sentence. You can just say wa iyaka, and then the iyaka implies that you are using the fi'il. You're doing, you know, you're making this ma'tuf to the fi'il before. You see that? Like you're making this ma'tuf to the fi'il that the other person said before, which is jaza. That is what it actually means. Did you know that? This is why, for example, like if you were to if you wanted to mention, for example, like if I was to say, Someone was asked, "Man darabta?" Who did you hit? I could say Zaydan. Because it's implied that I'm saying darabtu Zaydan. Then someone will say, "Waman ma'ahu?" And who else with him? If I wanted to say him, I would say wa iyyahu. I could just use the pronoun as is, because this is a mansub pronoun, and I can detach it and use it accordingly. Whether I want to use it in the sentence, as a response, as emphasis, as harf, as ma'tuf, all of those options are available. Once it becomes munfasil. All right, alhamdulillah. So that is dhamir munfasil. Let's take some examples, shall we? Yes or no, people? All right, here is the example. This is from Surah Yunus, Surah number 10. All right, let's translate the whole thing quickly, shall we? Let's translate the whole thing in a quick manner. All right. This ayah is good because we'll come back to this ayah when we study Dharf Zaman. Wa yawma. And yawma. So this is actually the day. This is actually the day. I'll tell you why, inshallah, when we get to Dharf Zaman. But it is actually the day. Do you know why? Actually, it's actually mudaf and mudaf ilayhi. Like, wait, what? It is. Well, let's get to that later. Nahshuruhum. Nahshuruhum. Hashara. Yawmul hashr. Yawmul hashr. The gathering. Nahshuruhum. What's the translation of nahshuruhum? Oh, close. Hashr is gathering. Hashara yahshuru. We gather them. Right? Do I have a pronoun here in nahshuruhum? A attached pronoun? Muttasil. Right? Hum. Hum is my attached pronoun. Muttasil. Correct? Alhamdulillah. Nahshuruhum. We gather them. Of course, we is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jami'an. Jami'an. All of them. Right? Or all together. Actually, all together I like better. All together. Thumma. It is emphasis. Ahsant, yes. It is the one of the harf of tawqid. Thumma then. Naqulu. Naqulu. Naqulu, we will say, right? That's because it's in the future. Naqulu lil-ladhina. 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 Li is to, all right, very good. Those who, ahsantum, very good. Ashraku. Ashraka. Yushriku. Ashrik. Ishraqan fahuwa or al-mushrik. Commit shirk. To those day associated partners. Shirk. I.e. to those who associated partners, right? All right. Now begins the quotation, right? Because it will be what's said is in quotes. Yes or no? Makanakum. Makanakum. What do you think makanakum means? Makan. ظرف زمان ومكان. Stay, okay, that's implied. Place, أحسنت. مكانكم, مكانكم, your places. Okay, now you notice it is your places, right? But something is interesting about مكانكم, right? It is mansub. Why would it be mansub? So what is implied here is there is a fi'il in the list. This is the first one. This is actually maf'ul. This is maf'ul bihi. First maf'ul bihi. Zarf zaman, not this one. Not this one. Okay. This is actually, this is something that's a advanced concept where a fi'il is sometimes dropped because it's understood. But the maf'ul remains. It's not too far-fetched because you see this, right? When you say wa'iyaka, right? You drop the fi'il. Yes or no? Because the fi'il is understood. Right? It's already understood. Here, the fi'il is dropped as well. Which is, what do you think the fi'il is in English? Your places, i.e. stay, ahsant, right? Stay in your places. So you can just say, like this is in Arabic, you could say makanaka or makanakum. That means ilzamu makanakum, stay in your places. All right? Remain in your places, ahsant. Do you get that? I.e. stay in your places. This is... for brevity, and also here it is more stern, right? Do you see like it's more stern to be, to have some brevity. Antum. Antum. You all. Wa. And. Shuraka'ukum. Your partners, right? Shuraka is the plural of Shariq. Shariq is a partner. Shuraka is the plural. It is a human plural. Could be human, could be non-human, depends on the context. But it is it a sound or is it broken plural? Shariq, Shuraka. It is a broken plural, right? Shuraka, like that. Very nice. Okay. All right. So, you and your place, you stay in your places, you and your partners. Okay? The people that you worshipped. فَزَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ. Then, زَيَّلْنَا, زَيَّلَ is to separate. زَيَّلْنَا, we separate we separated bainahum, between them. Okay, by the way, here the tense shifts from present tense to past tense, right? It is perhaps to highlight like the scene is now playing out in your minds, you know, like they're all standing, and then زَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ, it is a done deal that they're going to be separated. They're not brought together so they are judged as a group. They're actually brought together to humiliate the ones who did shirk. That's why they're being brought together. They're not brought together because they're all going to be held accountable together. They're actually brought together so that the ones who worship can say, no, we never said worship us. You guys did it. We didn't ask you to do it. So it's ultimate humiliation for the one who did shirk. That the person or the thing they worshipped will say, we never told you to worship us. Okay? Perhaps, and this is just me thinking a lot. I didn't read this somewhere. Okay? But zayyalna, the past tense is to, you know, like drive home that point or make that point stand out. Zayyalna baynahum. Okay? And then, waqala shuraka'uhum. Translate this, please. Waqala shuraka'uhum. The partners or sorry, what I meant by Danish is that emphasize or in the sense that it stands out, right? Like the tense changing stands out. Iltifat, ahsant, right? At this point, the tense changes, that part stands out. And if you think about it, that's actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting, that the mushrik is going to be humiliated in a way that's, you know, unbelievable on the Day of Judgment when the person that they worship would say, I didn't have anything to do with you. Right? So that part, right, the separation between the mushrik and the mushrak, that is perhaps one reason. And again, Allahu alam of all the reason there. Okay? And their partners will say, Ahsantum. Their partners will say, literally said, but he will say, Ma kuntum. Ma here is for negation. Not. Okay. Kuntum. Kuntum is the antum for kana. Kana. Kunta, you were. Kuntuma, both of you were. Kuntum, you all were. Okay. So that is kuntum. Kuntum, you all were. Ahsan, somebody said used to. Two people said used to. That's very good. Hold on to that thought for a second. Iyana. Iyana. Us. Ta'buduna. You all worship, i.e. what? You all didn't used to worship us. Right? So now imagine there's like some guy whose grave was worshipped by the people. You all did not used to worship us. That's what they say. And now on the Day of Judgment, do you think this person will, like, he would want to distance himself as far and as fast as possible? So first, this they will say, Ma kuntum iyana ta'budun. You didn't worship us. That wasn't like, you know, worship of us. And we were entirely unaware you worshipped us. In kunna an ibadatikum la ghafilin. Allah is our witness. We had no idea you were doing this. Implication is that if we knew it, we would stop it. But we had no idea you were doing this. And subhanAllah, Allah says, Ulaika tablu kullu nafsin ma aslafat. Every soul shall realize what it has done. And they shall be returned to Allah, their master. And anything they invented will forsake them. All the nonsense they invented in worshipping Allah that corrupted Tawheed, all of that will forsake them. Dalla anhum. It will be lost. So they are implying that you worship your own desires. Yes, they are implying, Ahsant, that it wasn't like you did this for your own self. Not because of, not us. You didn't worship us, you were doing it like you had created an idol and you're worshipping the idol. You weren't worshipping us. Because if you were worshiping us and we knew about it, we would have stopped it. You see? Because we were entirely unaware that you worshipped us. Had we known, we would have stopped. So the object you were worshipping, you had actually created it, had no reality in the first place. How humiliating. How like utterly humiliating for a person to live their whole lives doing something that is false, defending something that's false, and the thing that they thought they were defending comes on the Day of Judgment and says, I have nothing to do with you. You didn't even worship me, and if I knew it, I would have stopped it. I had no idea. May Allah protect us. Ameen. مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ Here, إِيَّانَا is for emphasis. Okay, I'm going to quickly point this out. فِعْلْ نَاقِسْ is كُنْتُمْ The ism kana is tum. The khabar kana is the sentence إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ And well spotted, mashallah, they used to worship us. That's where the used to part comes in, right? Because you have a past tense kana and present tense khabar. Okay, but this إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ the sentence, the fi'l is تَعْبُدُونَ Fa'il is waw, and the maf'ul is iyana. And here iyana is brought for emphasis. They're highlighting us. You weren't worshipping us. It wasn't us you were worshipping. That was a grave you were worshipping. That was the cross you were worshipping. You weren't worshipping us as you thought. And to emphasize that, iyana ta'budun. You see that, people? Subhanallah. Very stark. There's one other wrinkle to this that I'll inshallah explain in the tutorial that is a bit more advanced. Okay? Which is an optional thing. It's not like part of the course, but I feel in the tutorial I explain that as an example to show you how there is another level of emphasis that is found when Allah uses iya, the munfasil pronoun. Okay? It's quite interesting. And inshallah, it is something we will discuss then. But this example will suffice to show you how how emphasis is achieved by detaching the pronoun maf'ul. So that's what we get, exclusivity, emphasis. Sometimes it's required by the fi'l or the sentence. These are the three reasons. Wallahu a'lam. Okay? Now, we've done that. We need to obviously look at the ayah that we read every day. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Right? I mean, that will be not awesome to go finish the topic on munfasil pronouns and not talk about Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, of course. All right. Iyaka. How would you translate Iyaka? You, right? But of course, from the context, you know, it's you and only you, right? Na'budu. Na'budu. We worship. Ahsant. Right? We worship. Wa iyaka. Wa iyaka. And only you. Nasta'inu. Nasta'inu means seek from or ask for help. Right? Ask for help. Okay? I'm going to add a couple of vocab words here. So, nahshuruhum is from root letters is ha, sheen, ra, right? Ha, sha, fa hashara fa nada. Hashara, yah, shu, uru, together. Together. This is family one. Okay? Then you have nasta'inu, which is root letters are ayn, waw, and noon. Which irregularity is this? R to waw, right? From the word aun, which means help, and the family 10 of it is as follows: isti'ana. Isti'ana yasta'inu. Isti'ana yasta'inu. And then from yasta'inu, he seeks help. Nasta'inu, we are seeking help. Family 10, which means to seek the aun, seek the help. Right? Okay. So, this is that. Now, how many sentences are in Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in? Sentence number one. Iyaka na'budu, right? Very good. All right. Iyaka na'budu. Let's do the analysis of it. What is the fi'il? Fi'il is na'budu, right? Fi'il is na'budu. We can just write the whole thing as the fi'il, right? That's okay. What is my fa'il? Ka Allah. Fa'il, fa'il. Hidden pronoun we. Yes. We worship. Hidden pronoun we. We worship. And then what is the maf'ul? The maf'ul is... I'm glad I didn't have coffee in my mouth. Ka or Iyaka. Both of those are good answers, right? Iyaka or ka, both of those are acceptable. Iyaka is your maf'ul. Okay? The fi'il, by the way, like the fa'il of the fi'il, this is a tricky part. This is not like, jokes aside, this is a difficult thing to get. And it actually sinks in once you have taught it a little bit. Trust me. Once you teach it a little bit, that's when your pronouns of the fi'il will stick better. Right? Hint, hint. All right. I'm not joking though. It is actually true. Okay. I had trouble with it until I taught it. And this is something that unfortunately, you know, it's just there. And it's part of the learning process. Walhamdulillah. So don't be too down, inshallah. Next sentence is Iyaka nasta'inu. Iyaka nasta'in. Okay. The fi'il is what? The fi'il is nasta'inu. Okay, very good. The fa'il. Hidden pronoun B. Ahsant. I know you are. And then the maf'ul is ka or iyaka. Both of them are fine. If you are, I think, Basri, you would say ka. If you are Kufi, you would say iyaka. For us, we're either or. So this is good, alhamdulillah. Either way, we will accept it, inshallah ta'ala. Iyaka nasta'in. Now, interesting question for you to think about. Right? You ready? It's like a tafsir question. Okay? So... Iyaka na'budu. What is the purpose achieved by Iyaka na'budu? Exclusivity, right? You alone. Is the same purpose achieved by Iyaka nasta'in? Exclusivity? Yes, alhamdulillah, right? You alone, we ask for help. Okay, so clearly you cannot worship anybody other than Allah. That's a given. But can you, does this mean you can't ask for help from other than Allah? From those who are living. But this is exclusive, Ya Bala Danish. What's up with that? So here's the... okay. So here's the interesting thing here. Okay, so obviously it goes without like saying, or it's extremely obvious that asking for help from somebody who is alive obviously is not, you know, what this ayah is referring to, because the Prophet ﷺ himself asked help from everybody, right? Like from the Muhajirun, from the Ansar, right? Yes or no? But when you, of course, right? But here is the thing. When you are asking for help, what are you actually showing? You're showing that you're reliant on somebody, correct? If I'm asking for help, I'm showing I am depending on that person. If, for example, I'm moving, right? And if I ask my friend for help to help me move, I'm dependent on him, because if he doesn't show up, I can't move. I cannot like move everything myself. I need that person, right? Asking has the what follows from asking is dependency. Okay, particularly when it's something that you need, right? I mean, if you're just asking for something you could do but you are not willing to do, or you're too lazy to do, obviously that's not what I'm talking about. But when it's something you can't do and you ask for help, that shows dependency. Yes or no? Like, it implies it. I mean, logically, it does. Right? What we are taught is, don't depend on anyone but Allah. The person you ask for help for, you can ask for their help, but your dependency should be on Allah, i.e. your trust should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Right? Because if you're depending on the people will let you down. But if you're depending on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you down. And He will send, of course, the people who will be the helpers. Right? He will open doors. So asking people will be the tying the camel. Ahsant. Well done. Right? But that the idea of wa iyyaka nasta'in is the way we live our lives is we are totally like detaching ourselves mentally and our hearts from being dependent on a person or on people. Well, of course, we need them, right? The Ansar are literally called Ansar, the ones who helped, right? But the Prophet, before he found the Ansar, had to meet, I believe, 9 or 10 tribes, rejected by every one of them, before he met Al-Aus wal-Khazraj in the season of Hajj. So it is to, if he had put his dependency on the people, right away, you know, you would lose your heart because there's so much rejection. But putting dependency on Allah means you keep going, knowing Allah will answer that in one way or the other. You see that? This is a very, it's like a mindset. This is why Ibn Qayyim wrote like a whole book on this idea, right? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ مَدَارِجُ السَّالِكِينَ, right? That's his book that he wrote on this topic. Because it's such a deep point that our worship obviously is for Allah alone, but also our state of mind and our dependency should also be on Allah alone. The people are there. Sometimes they'll be there, sometimes they won't be there. But Allah will always be there for us. And if we understand that, then He'll make a way for us always. So that's a very, you know, it's a إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is a deep ayah. And it takes some time to process. And subhanAllah, it's easy to slip when you're just reading it. You just read it. But we ask Allah to give us understanding and action. Ameen Ya Rab. Okay, next up. Alhamdulillah. So that was, the munfasil pronouns. Oh, subhanAllah. I would be, like, I would require, like, a lot of, like, I'm not the person for that, Ya Brother Danish. I have to learn, too. Like, that is a topic for a more knowledgeable person, right? But inshallah, we will, ponder together and study together, inshallah. Okay? Babul Masdar, though. Let's look at Babul Masdar. So this is the second thing on the list, right? Remember the list that we had? The Mansubat, there we had to first reconcile Ibn Ajrum's counting. We'll break for Maghrib in 5 minutes, if you don't mind. Huh? We had to reconcile Ibn Ajrum's counting, and now we're at the Masdar, okay? The Masdar is the next thing on the list. Okay, what is the Masdar? Okay, let's introduce the Masdar, inshallah. All right. He says here, Ibn Ajrum, rahimahullah, he says, المصدر هو الاسم المنصوب الذي يجيء ثالثا في تصريف الفعل نحو ضرب يضرب ضربا. Okay, he defines مصدر as something that I think is perhaps not the most ideal definition. Okay. What is his definition of the masdar? His definition of the masdar is, it is the mansub ism, which comes third in the tasriful fi'il, or fi tasriful fi'il, in the listing of the family of the fi'il. That's what tasriful fi'il means, actually. Okay, tasrif. If I was to show you the yaji'u, by the way, comes from ja'a yaji'u, which means to come. Okay, ja'a yaji'u means to come, and you might notice it has two irregularities. R2 is a ya, and then you have a hamza in R3. Two irregularities in ja'a yaji'u. Okay, thalithan, thalith means third. Okay, fi tasrif al fi'il. Tasrif is the listing of the family of the fi'il. That's what tasrif is referring to. Let me refresh your memory. Okay, let me refresh your memory. How do we list out the fi'il, the family? We start with the past tense, right? Then what? Past tense, then what? Then present tense. Then we list command. Then we list number 4, masdar. Number 5, the actor, right? The fa'il. And number 6, the maf'ul, the acted upon, right? That's the way we list out the family. Okay. Now, if you go to like an Arabic dictionary, for example, if I go to almaani.com, right? Almaani.com is a very good website. It actually has a very good Arabic to English dictionary as well. Where does it go? Yeah, Arabi, and then you can do Arabic to English. Very nice, right? It's a very good resource. I use it all the time, by the way, for looking at words. Daraba, right? If I was to daraba, Sister Halima says, wait, it comes fourth, not third. Very good point. Okay, I'm explaining that, Sister Halima. All right. Let's look at by the way, these are all examples of what daraba means. Daraba al-qalbu taharraka. The heart hit. The heart moved. daraba fil ma. He's swimming. Huh? ضرب الزمان. Time has passed. مضى القرن الذي ضرب مليء بكار الحوادث. It's gone. Huh? Time has gone. ضرب بين الناس. He hit between people. أفسد بينهم. He caused corruption. ضرب الله قلوب بعضهم ببعض. سلط كلا منهم على الآخر. Allah hit their hearts with the others, right? Hit each other's hearts. He imposed one over the other. And they're both like the one who's imposed is doing something that is not, very, very good. Okay? Very, lots of... ضرب التاجر على يد شريكه, right? Deal's done. Shake hands. أقض معه البيع. So many interesting examples, huh? This is a good language to learn. All right. Let's go to Al-Mu'jam Al-Wasit. Right. Al-Mu'jam Al-Wasit, which is a very good dictionary, old dictionary. Okay. Look at what he says. Darabahu. What is this? Past, present, which family member? Past, okay. يضربه. Present, right? ضربًا. What is ضربًا? Very good. ضربًا is مصدر, right? It comes which number? 1, 2, 3. Right? All right. So in Arabic dictionaries, in actually like all modern and old Arabic dictionaries, this is how you list it. Past tense, present tense, and then masdar, number three. Okay? Why did we do masdar number four and command tense number three? Well, the reason why we did that is because we had the first three are fair, right? Yes or no? And the next three are ism. So just kind of grouping it by fi'l and ism. In reality, the understanding that they're assuming is that they would assume you can figure out the command from the present tense, right? يَضْرِبُهُ, they will assume that you can know this is command is idrib. It's like it goes without saying almost, right? So that's why, yes, it's my fault. But that's how we learned it. So in our listing of the family, the masdar comes fourth. But I would actually argue that this is not a great definition. Because sometimes this is not how a dictionary would write things, right? Sometimes they won't even write it at third. Maybe they would write it, fourth or fifth for some other reason, because they're trying to explain the fi'il has like two or three variants. You see? What I would say is an alternate definition. Okay? Here is the alternate definition for masdar. The ism that communicates the meaning of a fi'il. And I think this is actually a more precise one. Often with ing. For example, hitting, darban, eating, aklan, drinking, shurban. Yes or no, people? This right here is the ism that communicates the meaning of the fi'il. That is, I wouldn't call it an adverb. I wouldn't call it an adverb because it's a bit more than an adverb at times. Okay? Because you would have, for example, guidance. Guidance is also a masdar. It's the ism that communicates the meaning of he guided. It's the ism that communicates the meaning of he drank. Okay? That is, in my opinion, a better way to understand masdar. But now the question is, what is the masdar doing in the chapter of Mansubat? What is it doing under the chapter of Mansubat? Because this is now listing the family member, right? Why is it listed under Mansubat? It can be marfu', mansub, majroor, right? That's how isms are. Why is it under Mansubat? We will answer this question after Maghrib break, inshallah. Sounds good? A little bit of a cliffhanger there, yes. I did not time it that way, but alhamdulillah, it worked out. Okay, we're going to resume the chapter of Masdar. Are you all back? Just give me like a yes or no. If you didn't go anywhere, that's good too. Alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khairan. Okay, question that is really, really pressing. What is the masdar doing under the chapter of Mansubat? That question we're going to answer right now. Okay, the purpose of the masdar as a mansub ism is to provide the meaning, is to provide emphasis to the meaning of the fi'il. Okay, think of it. Think of the masdar as a mansub ism, as like a maf'ool masdar. Okay, let's call this as a maf'ool. Think of it as a maf'ool. All right, look at this. We won't call it right now a maf'ul, but think of it as such. Okay, maybe I'll put this at the end here. Let's look at the example first. Okay, look at this. I hit Zaid. How do I say I hit Zaid? Miskeen Zaid. Help him. Darabtu Zaidan. Darabtu Zaidan. All right. Now, what if I wanted to say that I smashed Zaid? Or like Habib says, I smashed him. How would I say that? Take a guess. This would be Darabtu Zaidan Darban. You see this? I've added the maf'ul. I've added the masdar as a mansub ism to provide emphasis to the meaning of the fi'l. I hit Zaid a great hitting. Yes, that is also a good translation. But I like the I smashed Zaid. All right. How would you do the analysis of this? Okay. Jumla fi'liya. What's the fi'l? The fi'l is daraba. Very good. You can even say darabtu is the fi'l just to make things easy. No problem. What is the fa'il? Fa'il is tu. Ahsant. Ahsantum. Mashallah. Well done. What is the maf'ul? Maf'ul bihi or maf'ul is zaydan. Yes? Now, we're going to call darban, we're going to say it's masdar. The masdar, babul masdar, right, is darban. You see? In other explanations of ajrumiya, almost like every single explanation that I've ever seen, and in like books of grammar, like Quran, grammatical analysis, i'rab of Quran, they have another name for this masdar. Okay, the name that they have is the name that's given to the masdar as a mansub ism is maf'ul mutlaq. Has anybody heard this term before? Maf'ul mutlaq. Do you know what mutlaq means? Mutlaq is like in Arabic, unconditional. Yes, right. It's an unconditional maf'ul. Okay, this is like another name that they give to it, the masdar. But you know, we will just stick to what Ibn Ajum says, al masdar, and we'll say the masdar is darban. But you have to understand here that the masdar as a mansub ism is doing what? What is it? What's the purpose of this? It provides emphasis. That's it. It provides emphasis. That is why, right? So let's frame it another way. Okay. When you would like to emphasize, okay, let's write it in this is a good way. When you would like to emphasize the meaning of a fi'l, you will add the masdar of the fi'l as a mansub ism. This is why we find this. What is masdar doing under the chapter of the mansubat? Let's answer the question more directly. What is the masdar doing under the chapter of mansubat? When you would like to emphasize the meaning of a fi'il, you will add the masdar of the fi'il as a mansub ism. All right, let's do something interesting, shall we? All right, we have 12 minutes, 13 minutes. Excellent, just enough time. Surah Fajr 21 to 22. What is that, Ibn Salim? Surah Fajr 21 to 22. وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا, right? وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. That's what you're referring to? Ahsant. Excellent example. Wallahi, beautiful. All right. I would like you to help me out with a fi'l, shall we? Okay. كَلَّمَا. This is family two. Can you make the present tense? Kallama. Try it with me. Present tense. Yukallimu. Very good. We will keep our order of the command tense next, which is... this one is kallim, right? When you chop, you notice the kaf has a fatha. So you don't need to add a... Hamzatul Wasl, right? Kallim, yeah? Masdar. Takliman. Ahsant. Takliman. The one who speaks. Al-Mukallim. The one spoken to. Al-Mukallam, yeah? What does it mean? To speak, yeah? Kallama, he spoke. Yukallimu, he speaks. Kallim, you speak. Takliman, speaking. Huh? Al-Mukallim, the speaker. Al-Mukallim, the one spoken to. Alright? Okay, let's look at this ayah. Surah number 4, ayah 164. And the one that Brother Danish has correctly highlighted for us. Right? Okay. وَرُسُولًا. What does Rusul mean? Rusul means message would be Risala. Rusul is messengers. Messenger, Rasul. Plural is Rusul. What type of plural is this, by the way? Broken. Ahsantum. Very good. Broken plural, Rusul. Ahsant. Okay. وَرُسُولًا. Help me out. Rusulan. And? The messengers? No. And messengers. Right? Messengers, yeah? Qad. What does Qad mean? Qad means surely. Qad means surely. Okay. All right. Qasasnahum. Qasasnahum. Qassa yaqussu means to narrate a story. Qassa yaqussu. Qissatan is to narrate a story of someone. From the root letters qaf, sad, sad. You will notice that this is an irregularity. To tell a story, to narrate a story. Ahsant. Okay. Qasasnahum. Now, translate for me qasasnahum. Qasasna. The fa'il, keep the fa'il in mind. Qasasnahum. No, we told, narrated them. Okay, very good. We narrated them. Alayka, alayka, to you, or literally upon you, right? On you. Now, what does this actually mean? Qasasnahum alayka, i.e., what does it mean? Their story, we narrated their story to what? To you. Okay? Qasasnahum alayka, we narrated their story to you. Min, what does min mean? Min means from. Qablu. Qablu means before. وَرُسُولًا and messengers لَمْ. What does لَمْ mean? لَمْ is not. لَمْ is not. أحسنت. Very good. نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ. نَقْصُصْهُمْ. If you remember, لَمْ would make things مَجْزُوم. Yes. نَقْصُصْهُمْ. We narrated them. Now, what does لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ mean? Let's do the thing quickly, because I think the point is obvious. لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ, i.e. messengers whose story we did not narrate to you, right? We did not narrate their story to you, okay? Narrate this, we did not mention their story to them. To you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet, there's prophets whose stories we have told you. قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ, from before. And prophets whose stories we did not tell you. That there's prophets that are not mentioned in the Quran, right? In fact, the ones not mentioned in the Quran are way more than the ones mentioned in the Quran. Then Allah says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ. Translate كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ, please. كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ. And Allah spoke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke. Musa. Translate Musa, please. Musa is Musa. Right? Spoke to Musa alayhi salam, right? Takleeman. Takleeman. Subhanallah. Literally a speaking, right? Now, what does this mean? Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam with a real speech. كلم الله موسى تكليما. It was a real speech. It was not metaphorical. It was not. It was as it befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see. So you know the ayah before that, actually, ayah 163 lists all the prophets, or a lot of the prophets, excuse me, that are mentioned in the Quran. Right, if you look at the ayah before that, it lists a whole bunch of prophets, right? It lists, we have sent revelation to you, O Prophet, like we did to Nuh and the prophets after Nuh, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Al-Asbati are the tribes, the children of Yaqub. Then he skips to the last of the children of Yaqub, Isa, right? The children of Yaqub are, of course, Bani Israel, right? The last of the prophets, Isa, Ayyub, Yunus, Harun. Harun is mentioned, Sulaiman, Dawood. Someone is missing in this list, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Musa alayhi salam, not amongst the list of all these weird prophets, but he mentions him at the very end, in a very special way. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Like, even the way he's mentioned in the ayah is absolutely unique. Because the way Allah spoke to him, or the way he received revelation, was absolutely unique as well. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Just look at, like, his brothers mentioned in Harun, but he didn't mention Musa or Harun here. Specially highlighted at the very end of the passage, concluding it, right, with this statement, and also highlighting that not only is this a great prophet who is extremely special, but the way he received revelation was also extremely special, the way Allah spoke to him, a real speech. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Let's look at the fi'l. Fi'l is كَلَّمَ, yes? Fi'l is تكلم فاعل فاعل is does it say directly كلم الله let's do the إعراب and then let's talk about the translation كلم الله the word Allah of course alhamdulillah the word Allah the مفعول the مفعول is Musa right he is the one who's spoken to تكليماً تكليماً is the مصدر right and as you can notice it is the مصدر of this فعل right and it is coming to emphasize what the meaning of the فعل كلمة right so here due to the emphasis of the meaning of the فعل كلمة right you get the idea that the speech of Allah here was to Musa alayhi salam directly without without for example how Jibreel would bring revelation to other prophets including the prophet sallam Musa alayhi salam receiving revelation was direct and that is a unique aspect because the fi'l is highlighted or emphasized through its مصدر وكلم الله موسى تكليما if this مصدر was not there a person could reinterpret this to mean a metaphorical speaking okay the linguistic possibility will then exist it's a metaphorical or it's real but the مصدر added at the end by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eliminates the metaphorical possibility it is only now a real possibility that it's a real speech As it befits the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. So you remember we were talking last time about like ambiguous and something that's unambiguous, right? Like multiple like possibilities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves. But when he wants to eliminate a possibility, he does it very, very emphatically. Like in this ayah, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا There's nothing left. Someone wants to do some gymnastics to say it's metaphorical. You actually have nothing. There's no rope for you to do gymnastics on. Because it was shut, the door was shut by this master, takliman. All right, we also have one more last thing. We have maybe a couple of minutes if you don't mind. كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كُلِّهَا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ أَخْذَ عَزِيزٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ This is Surah number 54, Ayah 42. I'll add this, inshallah, at the end. كَذَّبُوا, كَذَّبُوا means They denied, right? They belied, very good. To reject as well, right? Kadhaba is to lie, family one. Kadhaba is to call someone a liar, right? Or to say that what they're saying is not true. To belie somebody. I also to deny, all those meanings are kind of together. Kadhabu, they denied. Bi ayatina. Ayat are... Our ayat, our signs, right? They denied our signs. The B here is like, B means in or with. Just like amana, B means to believe in. Kadhaba, B means to deny, you know, the ayat, right? To reject them, okay? Kadhabu bi ayatina. Kulliha. Kulliha, translate for me, people. All of them, Ahsant. Ha is referring to what? The ayat. The ayat are a non-human, broken, plural, treated as a singular, feminine. So all of them, kulliha. Fa, so... أخذناهم. Translate, please. أخذ means to take. أخذ means to take. أخذناهم. So we took them. This means to seize in punishment, right? This the taking of somebody in the Quran by Allah means it's a seizing of them in punishment. Okay? It's not like to take them by the hand and guide them or something. No, this is a punishment that Allah is meting out. And akhada, the fi'l, its usage is to, you know, really seize one, someone and punish them. Okay? Seize them in punishment. Akhda, this is the masdar for akhada, yeah? Akhda is the masdar of akhada. Akhda, a taking, a seizing. Azizin, severe. Muqtadir, from the root letters qaf, dal, ra. Qadr. Qadr is something that is definitive. It happens, right? Muqtadir, more precisely, is something that is, you know, definitive. It is destined. Akhda azizin muqtadir. We seize them with a severe, definitive punishment. Because, by the way, it's talking about the people of the Pharaoh. Ala Fir'aun. The fa'il we're looking at is akhadnahum akhda azizin muqtadir. Quickly, akhadnahum. A taking, a severe, a definitive. Don't forget that, okay? Akhadnahum akhad fa'il, right? Na is the fa'il. Hum is the maf'ul. Very nice. Akhda. Is it the masdar? Yes, alhamdulillah. It is mansub. It is the masdar. It is coming to emphasize the meaning of the fi'il. Akhda. But it is also what? Akhda azizin. It is also a mudaf mudaf ilayhi. Akhda azizin. And azizin is man'ut and muqtadirin is na'at. Akhda azizin muqtadirin. He sees them with a severe, definitive punishment. And that punishment, right? Or the seizing with punishment is being highlighted by the masdar. Wallahu a'lam. Some vocabulary here is listed as well, inshaAllah. So that, folks, is a look at the Babul Masdar. He explains وَهُوَ قِسْمَان لَفْظِي وَمَعْنَوِي. To be honest, this is something that is a little advanced. What we'll focus on is we'll focus on the examples that he provides afterwards, and inshallah ta'ala, like, move on then to Babu ظرف الزماني وظرف المكان on Monday, hopefully covering more, inshallah, of this chapter and Babul Halin as well. Okay, Jazakumullah khairan. In the tutorial, we'll do some more examples of Al Masdar, inshallah. We'll also do some more examples of Iya. So, inshallah ta'ala, I hope to see you all there. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you for sticking around till the end. I'll see you, inshallah ta'ala, later on. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وجزاكم. Now you instead of saying وجزاكم, I'm gonna say وإياكم.